Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
It's good to see everybody. You guys are kind of quiet today. Let's just stand up for a minute and let's just cheer for the Lord for a minute. Like, I feel like I want to get some noise going. I'm going to start yelling, so I hope you guys follow me. Jesus, we love you. We love you, Jesus. Woo! Okay, I feel better now. You can sit down or you can keep standing, whatever y'all want to do. I needed to get that out of my system. Thank you. Thank you for doing that with me. Guys, I'm excited to have the opportunity to share with you today. I want to tell you, really, whenever I was asked if I would speak today, all I want to do is encourage you. So like I told you before, sometimes I like to give you the punchline before I actually preach the sermon. So if you leave here feeling encouraged, that's it. That's what I want. And so I recently retook the spiritual gifts assessment, and one of my spiritual gifts is encouragement. So this should be really good today. It should be. Like, it's one of my gifts. So you guys can be the judge of it, I guess. But anyway, I just want you guys to feel loose today. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I just feel his peace today. I'm a crier. My wife tells me they know you're a crier. You don't have to keep saying that. But I gotta feel like I have to warn you, like, because I started praying for somebody today. This little girl came up for prayer, and I just felt her faith. That's what I want. That's what I want. So it rocked me. So anyway, encouragement. So one of the things I do around here is I teach Hope Intro, which is kind of our introduction class. You know, who is Hope? Who are you? Who are we? And one of the things we talk about is our hope story. And so I do share like a kind of a really shortened version of my hope story. And I think we all have a hope story. But as I was thinking about my hope story, as I was thinking about encouraging you today, I thought, wow, there's a lot of stuff in my hope story that I don't share at Hope Intro. Not because I don't want to, it's you only have an hour. My hope story is 48 years long. So, but I want to talk a little bit today about my hope story, and I want to encourage you. So when I think about hope stories, you know, obviously it's always in context of how we found hope, but the reality is it's way bigger than that. It's way bigger than just this location, like this place that we come to gather together, Hope Church, because our hope story is really our life story, you know, especially when you're a follower of Jesus. But I think back to when we came here, and so I'm going to share a little bit about my family's hope story, and then I hope that you're encouraged to consider yours. But so we came here December of 2007, and this is always part. If you've been in Hope Intro, you're going to hear some of this, but I added some extra stuff, so you'll be like, oh, that's, I didn't know that about him. So we had been serving at a church for 7 years, not on staff, but as volunteers. And we were like, say yesers to everything. Like, yes, yes, yes. And at the time, I was leading worship for youth. We traveled around and did youth services. And guys, I was a rock star. I'm just trying to be honest. I was a rock star. And so I came here really feeling pretty awesome of how great a rock star I was. We had decided to leave churches. Nothing bad. We just felt like the season that we were at. But here's the thing. As you hear my hope story, you're going to hear why, right? So we were just like, hey, I think it's time for us to go somewhere else. The guy, the pastor that I was working with, he actually recommended 3 churches for me to try. Hope was one of those churches. We came to Hope first, and here we are. I keep telling y'all it's been 15 years. That's a lie. It's actually, it'll be 14 years. I wanted it to be 15, but it's only been 14. So anyway, so you can change that in all the notes you've been taking. It's 14, not 15. So anyway, we come here, and I remember right where I was sitting, it was the next to back row over on this side. And I remember just the word that I would remember was unity. I remember looking across the room, and it was one accord. Pastor Josh was leading worship, And I just remember thinking, wow, they are all together. Like, this must be what the upper room looked like a little bit. You know, and so we came, we decided this is going to be where we're going to plant ourselves. December of 2007. We didn't know what was about to happen. But you know, sometimes you don't know what's about to happen, but God does, right? He's already made a way of escape. So anyway, about 3 months after we came to Hope, my family went through really what proved to be the most difficult time that we've ever went through. I made some terrible decisions and almost lost my family for it. Y'all be like, well, he's about to get vulnerable. But you know what? That's how we grow together, right? We walk with each other. So we came, we were in a terrible place. I wasn't sure that I was going to keep my family. You know, I'd come to this place feeling like a rock star. And I'm just going to be real candid with you, because I think I want you to know, like, the word that the Lord does. I was really full of pride. I didn't know it at the time, but I felt really good about myself, and I thought you should too. Yeah. And so, you know, what's weird is I thought that I was doing all the right stuff, but the reality is that I was so full of pride. I had a misunderstanding of what justice is. I thought that my way was the way. You know what? And what I realized as I'm thinking about writing this story down to tell you guys is that I actually was living in opposition to God. I mean, in 1 Peter 5:5, it says, I'm just going to read it real quick. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Like, I thought I had my ministry going, y'all. Like, I was rocking for Jesus. I thought I had it all. I was all that and a bag of chips. That's a total Gen Xer joke. So all you boomers and Zennials, if you didn't know. And it was like sweet and spicy Doritos. That's what chips I was. Like, they were the best of all chips. If you haven't tried those, you should. But anyway, so 3 months after we came here, like, this is going to be our place. I'm rocking. Made some terrible decisions that almost made me lose my family. I'll never forget the first sermon that was preached, the first Sunday that my wife and I came to church together. By the way, I was sitting second row right there. I remember it like it was yesterday. Pastor Gary was preaching, and this is what he opened the sermon with. I'm going to read it to you. Everything that I knew had been flipped upside down. Everything I thought, let's just be honest, was wrong. I made terrible mistakes. My wife decides she wants reconciliation and restoration in our home. And then we come to church the next Sunday, and this is what Pastor Gary opened the sermon with. I'll never forget it. It's part of my Hope story. Galatians 6:1-2. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgressions, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too are tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. God, in his mercy, loved me so much, even though I was in opposition to him and didn't know it, to bring me to this place, to this family, just before I needed him the most, just before I needed this family the most. He knew that I was going to need to be gently restored. He knew well before we showed up on a December in 2007 that I was going to need this Hope family, that I was going to need the people in this particular part of his body. So I remember we are on this journey. We're coming to Hope. I don't really know anybody. And actually, we talk about this in Hope Intro. I'm kind of hiding. Like, sometimes you got to hide to heal. I don't love it when people have to hide. But in that moment, I needed to, like, I don't want anybody to know me. If I had still been at the place that we were, this would have been a much terrible thing. I came to Hope. Nobody knew me. I didn't know anyone. And that's what's crazy about how the next part of this story goes, because I don't really know anybody, but I meet a guy in the lobby And he's like, hey, we should go to lunch. I'm like, okay, I'll go to lunch. So we went to lunch. We broke bread together. And I remember him just telling me all his stuff. And I'm like, who is this guy? Like, why? You don't know me. Like, why are you telling me all your stuff? But what I realized is that when he began to tell me just so transparently his struggles, this is a stranger to me. I felt like, oh, wait, I think I can share mine too. So we began to walk together. We begin to encourage each other. This is the beginning of my gentle restoration in this Hope family. This is part of my Hope story. And then, I don't know, a couple years later, I can't remember. I think Facebook tells me this was 12 years ago, but I can't always trust Facebook. You don't know. But I think it was 12 years ago, we joined something called Young Marrieds. This was like this back when we did life groups. It was such a life-giving group. And we met some folks in that group, lots of people that are actually still in this. Pastor Josh was in that group. That's kind of whenever Pastor Josh and I started hanging. But, and there was many things that were said to me. I can still remember words that I got that are still coming true, that are still real in my life. But I remember we connected with a couple of families. Our kids were little. That became our family. That became people that persevered with us, that walked through stuff with us. We had been through the roughest times, but our Hope story is that he knew what I was going to do. He knew what we were going to go through, and he had already planned his response. It was already settled. He already knew that the person in the lobby was going to invite me to lunch and start walking with me. He already knew that we were going to join this life group that really breathed life into our family's life. And I really came to this realization. You know, I thought as I'm writing these notes, you know, I'm writing the notes and I'm thinking, okay, like this scripture really is what's standing out to me about this whole story. And it's Genesis 50 and 20. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. I'm going to read the Message version of this because I like the way it reads. Joseph replied, don't be afraid. Do I act for God? Don't you see you planned evil against me, but God used those same plans for my good? As you see all around you right now, life for many people, easy now. You have nothing to fear. Let me just say that again. I don't know what you're going through right now, but let me say easy now. Like, that just feels good. Easy now. You have nothing to fear. God will take care of you and your children. He reassured them, speaking with them heart to heart. In this moment, I look back. I do this thing a lot of times whenever I'm somewhere, like in a moment in my life, I will look back, like in my mind. Sometimes I just look back. I'm just like, oh. I look back over my life, and I see all these moments. I see all these moments where he took care of me. I didn't know what was coming, but he was writing my Hope story. He was writing my story, step by step, piece by piece. Every mistake that I had, what the enemy had intended for evil, he was using for good. Like, I love it because I love telling people this. Like, people, sometimes my kids will be like my daughter right now. She's in cross country. She's got, like, a broke foot, basically. And and we talk about it. And you know what I always say to my kids is that God is in the good-making business. Like, this is what he does. So maybe you're going through something tough right now, but I want to tell you what was intended for evil, he intends for good. He's going to take your story. He's writing your Hope story right now. It's not just about Hope Church. It's your story of hope. It's who you are. You may be going through a really difficult time right now. So I want to tell you a little bit. So again, I'm still learning how to, like, do this. And one of the things, I read the scripture, and I didn't have any intentions to talk about Joseph, but as I read the story of Joseph, I started thinking, man, he's got quite a hope story, this Joseph guy. So I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's like 3 chapters long. That would take, you would fall asleep if I sat and read to you all the story of Joseph. But I want to tell you the story. So Joseph, this what he said here, he's talking to his family, and they're like, oh no, he's going to get us back for all we did to him. But he's like, oh no, like what you intended for evil, God intended for good. So I want to talk to you a little bit about Joseph and his hope story. And all this, while if you would, I just want you to think about your story of hope. What's your story? What have you been through? What has he brought you out of? What is he currently bringing you through? So who's Joseph? Some of you probably know this story better than I do, but I'm just going to run through some things real quick. So Joseph, he's a kid. He's the youngest brother. He has these dreams. He dreams that his brothers are going to serve him, basically. You can read it. It's in Genesis. So the brothers get jealous of him, right? He's his dad's favorite. Don't you hate it when the other kid's the favorite one? It's not fun. I get it. I get it, Alan. And sorry. My brother's here right now. So they get mad at him, and they throw him in a pit, and they tell his dad that he was killed. Sorry, Dad, he gone. But he wasn't. So then they're like, wait a minute. And I'm making this is Paula phrasing, so please excuse me. But his brothers decided, oh, wait a minute, we might be able to make some money on this deal. Why don't we take him out of the pit and sell him? So they sold their brother into slavery. So he starts serving, and he gains favor with the person that he's serving. But then that person's wife accuses him of hitting on her, like trying to date her, trying to kiss her. This is the PG version, G version. But so she tells her husband, Joseph was trying to kiss me. And so he gets put in prison. And you know what's funny? I didn't realize this. He was in prison for 2 years for something that he didn't do. But he gets out of prison because he interprets the dream of the king. So he's seeing dreams. He's having dreams. He's interpreting dreams. The Lord's still using him even though he's in prison. He comes out, and then he gets put in charge of Egypt. This is the guy that was in the pit, sold into slavery, in prison, falsely accused. Now he's actually ruling. So his brothers show up. His brothers who had thrown him in the pit, they show up because there's a famine and they're hungry. And they don't really realize it's him at first. But he makes sure that they're taken care of. See, he forgave them. He made sure that they were taken care of. And then it says in, I think the NLT, it says many were saved because of that decision. So let me read it again in the context. Now that you know the story, he's in a pit. He's in prison. Now he's in the palace. His hope story didn't seem very hopeful. And now he's in a position where he can make a decision whether he's going to punish the people who threw him in the pit or he's going to feed them. He's going to save them. So I read it again. Joseph replied, "Don't be afraid. Do I act for God? Don't you see you planned evil against me? But God used those same plans for my good. As you see all around you right now, life for many people. Easy now. You have nothing to fear. I'll take care of you and your children." He reassured them, speaking with them heart to heart. I love it whenever God speaks to me heart to heart. You know, that's what he wants to do. That's what he does. I'm going to get my notes out of order. So you've heard my hope story. You've heard Joseph's hope story. What's your hope story? How did you get here? And I don't mean just here, but how'd you get here? Like where you are. No matter where you're at in your hope story, it's not too late to become exactly who God planned you would be. I thought I had it all figured out when I was sitting back there. When I first showed up at Hope, I thought I had it all figured out. I knew exactly what God was going to do. And then nothing that I thought was, but he made a way of escape. You know, what's crazy to me, honestly, is that there's two things I want to tell you. So this happened 14 years ago, and I thought I was going to lose everything. But just last Wednesday, My wife and I celebrated our 20th anniversary. But yeah, you can, thank you. Give my wife a hand. Like, she really did all the hard lifting. And then another thing is, like, what blows me away sometimes, and I don't think about it a lot, but I think about this, is like, I sat on that back row thinking I had it all figured out. And 14 years later, like, I'm on staff here. I find that weird sometimes. I know some of you do too. I know you do. You're like, that is weird, that guy. But sorry. I think something I want to encourage you with as you think about your hope story, like, what have you been through? Maybe you're in the pit right now. Maybe you're in the prison. Maybe you've sold yourself to something that you wish you hadn't. He's writing your hope story. Like, that's not how the story ends. What was intended for evil, he has good intentions about. It's still being written. You haven't messed it up. You still can be everything that he dreams you would be. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you're alive, you're still here. You were created on purpose, with purpose. You were. You may not feel like it. You may not think it. You may be like, no, Paul, you don't know. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I'm currently doing. All I can tell you is that what the enemy intended for evil, he has good intentions. He's in the good making business. What is your hope story? Jeremiah 29:11. I just like to tell people this one. I just threw it in here because I like it. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you future and a hope. He's writing your hope story. What's your hope story? Something else I want to tell you. Like, I believe this. It's like when you think about it in context of a book. Like, you have a story. We read stories all the time. I think you should take the time to write down the things that you're going through, like the good and the bad, so you can look back over your story. Because here's why. What's so important about your hope story? What's so important about your story that he's writing is that we need it. The body needs it. The body needs to hear what the Lord's done for you. The body needs to hear what he's brought you out of. Like, it's not for you to keep to yourself. Something else I want to read to you is Philippians 1:6. Because it just grows my confidence in who the Lord is and what the Lord is doing. And it says, and I'm sure of this, that he began a good work in you, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So I remember, I'm going to go off on a tangent right now. Like a good one, a really fun one, a happy one. But I can remember being a kid. I talked to Pastor Josh about this week. Sometimes when I hear really good preachers, it makes me think, I want to be a really good preacher. And I remember when I was a little kid, just daydreaming about it, like daydreaming about being a preacher. And then I remember messing everything up and thinking, I'll never be who he said I was going to be. I messed it up. I'll never be who he said I was going to be. That's baloney. Like, here I stand. Not that great of a preacher, but here I stand. Like, the reality is that he is always doing a work. He is always making good. What did he say you would do? Who did he say that you are? Talk about it. Don't forget it. Remember, I think I mentioned this once before. My dad used to always say this thing. I know I did, but I'm going to say it again. He would always sign cards, remember. And I never knew what that meant. I'm like, remember what? But I want to encourage you, remember who your daddy said you were. Remember what he's brought you out of. Remember that we need your hope story. The Bible says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And he already shed his blood. Testify. Tell your story. This reminds me, as I was thinking through this, I thought back to Pastor Josh's sermon last week. And just really what we're becoming here at Hope. And he talked about Acts 2. And I thought back to the guy who invited me to lunch. I thought back to the people that he's put in our life over the years to be in family with. And I thought about part of what we're doing here, Hope Family, this idea of really bringing the body of believers together around a table, around the scriptures, around prayer, helping each other grow, sharing our hope stories. It was the body of Christ devoted to one another. There were people devoted to me. People that I remember sitting down with Pastor Josh before I ever served at Hope, because I wanted him to know me, like the bad stuff. And he just looked at me with these, you know, his loving eyes, you know them. He looked at me with such grace and mercy, and he saw what the Father saw about me. He saw not what I had done, but he saw the good that God was making of me. He saw it. That's who we are as a body of believers. Sometimes we get so focused on what's wrong that we can't see what's right. Sometimes we get so focused on where we're at, like in the pit, it's dark, and we forget that we are the light. We are the light. So I want to read Acts 2 because this is what my hope story was really founded in. And it's really our heart for who we're becoming as a body, this portion of his body here in this building. It's Acts 2, 42 through 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. It was funny because this connected. All of a sudden this connected in my mind, like Genesis 50. He said there were many who were saved. They ate, he fed them, they were saved. Acts 2, they shared everything, they prayed together, they persevered together, they were devoted together, and many were saved. It's the story, it's the hope story. I just want to encourage you for a second. Just, I want you to think about what he has brought you out of. You may say, I don't have a hope story. I've been in the pit as long as I can remember. You may say, Paul, I remember what the Lord said about me, but he can't do that anymore. I messed that up. I messed that up a long time ago. I feel really compelled to say this. It doesn't matter how old you are. He's not done. It doesn't matter how young you are. He's just getting started. He has a plan. He's making good. You are the hope story. You are the hope story. So we talk about, if everybody stand real quick. We talk about Hope Family. We talk about really the way, this way of being devoted together, eating together, spending time here. I've had so many great moments in this room with people I was doing life with. But then we built that on the outside. We built our hope story on the outside. So I want to encourage you in that. Before we pray, I want to encourage you in that. If you want to be part of helping someone else write their hope story, we're always looking for people to lead Hope Families. If you're looking to be part of a community where you can eat together, pray together, study the word together, grow together, build a hope story, tell your hope story, we want you in family. That's where it happens. We want you in family. Some of you might say, Paul, I've never even thought about my story. Like, I'm not even sure I fully know this Jesus that you're talking about. Could the ministry team come, please? I just want you to know, no matter where you're at, if you were today years old when you heard about Jesus, he actually has already started writing your story. It's written. He already knows who you are. He already knows how he wants to use you. He already knows what he wants to do through you. And there's nothing that you've done that will mess up his plan. Just come to him. So there's a couple of things I want to ask you before we close. One, if you don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about, this God that sees you correctly, he knows you, he knows who you are, he knows your mistakes, he knows your failures, he knows where you're at, and he wants you to say yes to the story that he's written for you. He wants to use your story. There's people here to pray with you. I would just say, come and let us agree with you. Let us love on you. Let us become part of your hope story. And maybe there's some in here that were exactly where I was 14 years ago, needing to be gently restored. I'm very passionate about this because I can tell you sometimes we don't do a very good job of gently restoring anyone. This place did. But that's not always the case. So maybe you're in the pit and you need somebody to reach down and help you get out. Or maybe you're in the prison and you need somebody to unlock take the key and unlock the gate, let you out. It's time for you to dream again. It's time for you to dream again. He has not changed his mind about you. He has not changed his plans for you. So if you're needing to be gently restored, or maybe you're just ready to say, I need somebody to walk with me. I need somebody to help me out of this pit. That's what we do. That is Hope Family. He brought you here for a reason. This is part of how he's making it good. You being here right now, that's my story. That's my story. So over the next couple of minutes, if you just want to pray with someone, if you want to hear more about Jesus, if you want somebody to walk with you, to help you, just remember who your dream is. We have people here that want to be part of your journey. We have people that want to be part of your story. So Tyler's going to sing here for a minute, and just we're going to take a second. Just come down and let some people love on you. Before we leave, I just want to pray this prayer over us, and then you'll be free to go. It's Ephesians 3:16 through 19. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you'll make complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. God bless you. Have a great day.